It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm 90.5 WESA News Director Mark Neupbaer sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. In 2016, all three row offices in Pennsylvania will be up for election. Usually, they have a hard time competing with the presidential election, but this year, the race for Attorney General is expected to draw a great deal of attention. Attorney General Kathleen Kane faces criminal charges for leaking information to a grand jury and then lying about it. The so-called porngate continues to swirl around her, and her law license has been suspended, making for a second term all but impossible. Four Democrats have already announced bids for the seat. Two Republicans launched campaigns, but one has already bowed out of the contest, and more candidates are expected to emerge in the coming weeks. All this for an office that does not have a very long track record. I'm joined by Franklin and Marshall University political scientist Terry Madonna. Terry, give me the background on this position. It wasn't always elected.
Oh, that's correct. It had been appointed, you know, right through from colonial days. Up until 1980, there had been a ballot question requiring a constitutional change that was adopted by the voters, and then a law was passed that literally established the office itself as an independent office headed by an elected attorney general. That law is known as the Commonwealth Attorneys Act of 1980, and there were a variety of responsibilities that the law gives to the newly elected attorney general, you know, literally representing the Commonwealth in prosecutions of a variety of criminal and civil offenses. The law itself talks about public corruption and organized crime, civil litigation on behalf of Commonwealth agencies. But overall, you know, it gave the attorney general pretty wide discretion in the areas of civil and criminal law. The other side of that is not just in going after suspected criminals, but also in defending the state against, you know, lawsuits that are filed by individuals against the Commonwealth. And third area would be, let's say that there are regulations, rules, mandates that come out of the executive branch and or other boards and commissions, the Attorney General is responsible for reviewing those to determine their constitutionality, determine whether they violate Pennsylvania law. Now, sometimes that gets contested. That could lead to court action, but that's still the broad authority that the Commonwealth Attorneys Act of 1980 deals with.
What was the discussion that was going on back then that they wanted to move from an appointed position to an elected position?
Yeah, I think there were several reasons. One, there was, if this is possible, unprecedented corruption in Pennsylvania government during the period of the 1970s. Over a four-year period, there were several hundred cases brought against politicians and public officials at all levels of state government, including a number of them directed at the Schapp administration, not the governor himself. And I think the thinking at the time was that, well, the governor appoints the attorney general. He's a member of the governor's cabinet. There's not always the kind of discretion that should exist in terms of the freedom to go after people at all levels of government. The whole point was that the executive branch, by having the attorney general, wasn't really going after lawbreakers, potential lawbreakers, and that most of that was being done outside of the office of attorney general as it was then located in a gubernatorial administration. So it was to give that individual freedom, to give that individual the initiative to be able to move forward. And by the way, even after that took place, that didn't stop the feds from going after a whole variety of people. So if you look at crimes brought against, for example, one previous attorney general, Ernie Prieto, who was convicted of mail fraud, that was done by the federal government. If you look even today at prosecutions brought by, or in recent years, against some state lawmakers for a variety of public corruption, they were also done by the feds.
You talk about making it a more independent office, but at the same time, we're still running Republicans and Democrats, and they're still potentially beholden to their party. Have we really fixed this system anyway?
I mean, the answer to that is probably it's probably better than what it was. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You can't completely rule out an element of partisanship. I certainly wouldn't disagree with that. I think the bigger, there are 830 people or so that now work in the Attorney General's office in the state, and they're handling a whole variety of cases, civil, criminal, involved in, you know, some in tracking down drug dealers, some prosecuting sex offenders. I mean, there's a whole variety of activities that go on there that I think have nothing to do with partisanship, and that often gets lost given the high profile that several of our attorneys general have had in the past. I mean, one of the interesting things is we've elected 5 attorneys general under the new law. And if we go through them, the backgrounds of these individuals in most cases have been very strong in law and in enforcement, with backgrounds as prosecutors, with exception or two that we can talk about. But it has been a stepping stone, or an attempt at a stepping stone. For example, of the 5, Ernie Priet, who was the 2nd attorney general elected, ran for governor. The 3rd attorney general, Mike Fisher, also ran for governor, and he ended up getting on the 3rd Circuit Court of Appeals. The 4th, Tom Corbett, ran for governor. You see where I'm heading with this. Who knows what would have happened to the 5th, Kathleen Kane. So of the 5, 2 of the 5 pretty much stuck to their, well, again, I'm including Kathleen Kane. We don't know about what that future would have been like, but this has been considered a stepping stone.
Yeah, with the Kathleen Kane issue, how does that really set up this pretty wide open race right now?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to see a very spirited contest, and right now it looks like there's one candidate on the Republican side, State Senator John Rafferty, who looks like he's going to be the consensus candidate of the Republican Party. The Democrats have 4 candidates running, and there possibly could be a 5th, so there could be a bruising Democratic primary. But I don't think there's any mistake that the Republicans are obviously going to make an argument that Democrats can't be trusted with the Attorney General's office, given the series of controversies involving Kathleen Kane, the current attorney general. And so the Democrats will have an interesting contest. The political community is sort of waiting for a popular Montgomery County commissioner named Josh Shapiro to announce. The speculation has been rife for weeks that Shapiro would decide to seek the office. And I do think that Kane's performance, or lack thereof, and the controversy she's been involved in are going to be a major part of the campaign.
We'll be talking to those candidates later on in this show. And as you said, Mr. Shapiro strongly expected to make an announcement early in the new year. But kind of circling back, Kathleen Kane was the first Democrat to hold this position. And if the Democrats do beat each other up in the primary, does this become a cakewalk in the general election for the Republicans?
You were absolutely right. Kathleen Kane was the first Democrat and first woman. She made those principal parts
first
of
woman
her
elected.
Campaign. Absolutely. And make no mistake about it, her tenure is going to be at the heart of the campaign. Democrats are going to move as far away from Kathleen Kane as they can, and the Republican candidate is going to try to say, you know, we can't trust Democrats into that office. They got elected, and you see what happens. Here is the rub of, and an important element in this. We have seen a tremendous increase in straight party voting. And the Democrats have monopolized in this century the so-called row office elections, state treasurer, auditor general, and attorney general. If, in fact, a candidate wins the presidency in this state by 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 points, And that's been the range in the last 2 elections. Because of the uptick in straight party voting, if one of the nominees for the presidency, candidates for the presidency, wins the state by a substantial edge, that could carry the Attorney General's office, and it materially could affect obviously Auditor General and State Treasurer as well, given the death of ticket splitting or the serious decline of ticket splitting. So that's something we're going to look at very carefully, whether or not there'll be what we the so-called coattail effect. So that's one concern, meaning that the campaigns might not make that all that much different for the three-row offices if indeed there's a blowout at the top of the ticket. I'm not predicting that. I'm merely saying that's something that we need to watch. On the other hand, the AG's race, Attorney General's race, is going to be, of the three-row offices, by far the most high-profile. And there's going to be a good bit of money and a lot of ads in this race. And the Democrats are certainly going to be somewhat on the defensive. The Democrats also have to defend a state treasurer's office in which, earlier in the year, the Democratic state treasurer, Rob McCord, resigned after pleading guilty to extortion.
Right. Now, before we get to the general election, of course, we have to get through the primary. So just another couple of quick questions on that front. If we do have four candidates, two from the east, two from the west, does that mean the center of the state, which doesn't have a lot of Democrats in it, gets to make the decision? Or is there some other aspect of this that I'm not
seeing? I think it'll be the turnout and what we call friends and neighbors effect. So you have two candidates out in the west. You have obviously a very high profile DA. Can he in the primary to do well in Westmoreland and Washington and Fayette and Greene and Beaver, you know, the other counties out there, because he's so well known. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm merely saying, and I'm using him as illustrative, there's a candidate out in the Southwest where we have more of in the state of what we call friends and neighbors effect. On the primary, the ballot is on, the county is on the ballot with the candidate's name. And so sometimes, particularly in the Southwest historically, that's made a bit of a difference. And then if we go into the East, where we have two candidates from the East, one, and we could have three, do they divide up the vote in the East? I don't necessarily think yet that the center of the state would make the difference. You can't rule it out. I think it's more how well will you do in your own region, and then how can you encroach in the other individual's regions.
And finally, it is a slightly shorter campaign, with the primary being a little bit earlier in a presidential year. Will that have any impact?
Yeah, well, it could. I mean, it obviously, you know, reduces the amount of time that you have to go spend trekking around the state, you know, doing all of these events that candidates do, rallying the party faithful. And all these folks have full-time jobs, which means they're not going to be out 7 days a week campaigning, I presume. And it's probably going to turn into a TV, made-for-television moment. And getting people to pay attention to these down-ballot offices is not easy. So we're probably going to see what kind of money and what kind of campaigns they can raise. You probably need $3 to $5 million to have much of a real presence statewide. But if you're a Democrat, as you point out, you don't need necessarily spend a lot of money in central PA. You got to spend it in the Southeast, in the Southwest, and maybe up in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and Lehigh. You know, that's where the bulk of the Democratic voters are.
Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
That was Franklin and Marshall University political scientist Terry Madonna. When we return, we'll speak to four candidates looking to become Pennsylvania's next attorney general, starting with Northampton County District Attorney John Morganelli. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.